This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Good morning. It's SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Oh, I love starting an hour with anything Roger Goodell says. The commissioner of the NFL was in Buffalo for a Jim Kelly golf tournament. And, of course, started talking and actually said two things that I want to get to in this hour. Two things. One, that the preseason needs to be shortened. It's not necessary to have four games to determine your roster and determine to evaluate talent. No, I don't care what all these coaches say. We don't need four preseason games. Now, I wonder how owners took that. Because here's how fans took that. Oh, cool. I don't like preseason games either, but I bet you want to expand this bad boy to 18 games. That's on the one side. We'll get to that. But the other thing he said, I'm sure made everybody in Western New York and Buffalo nervous. Because Roger Goodell, in his sly way, and the way he does things, is he's very lawyerly, being a lawyer himself, is he started to imply to New York, Western New York, I should say, better fix the stadium, better get a new stadium, because I want the Bills to be successful, and a new stadium will help keep them competitive. Now, immediately people jump to the other flip side of that coin, right? Which is, if you don't build us a stadium, there's really nothing we can do to keep the Bills here as long as they've been an organization of Western New York, as long as they've been a staple of Buffalo entertainment. There's really no guarantee that we could possibly keep them in Western New York unless you take the stadium and upgrade it. Goodell making two key points yesterday to sort of set the table for where he is taking this league. He has done this a number of times in the past, and always to a level of success. He does know how to maneuver the landscape sometimes. Now, other times it bites him. Other times they fail miserably and he's got to do course correction. You can look at Ray Rice. I think the way they handled the national anthem situation. But he always does this thing where people take his statements and boy, do they read in some stuff. Preseason needs to be shortened all of a sudden becomes 18-game schedule talk, and the fact the Bills need a new stadium all of a sudden becomes a should-the-Bills-relocate talk. He doesn't come out and say it, but he does sort of imply it, and we'll start breaking down exactly what this all means next. SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Dana, good morning to you, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. So Roger Goodell spoke to Josh Reed of WIVB in Buffalo, said he spoke to coaches and said, oh, there's no need for four preseason games to evaluate talent, which is really funny because when a couple of years ago, and I want to say over maybe like 10 years ago, there was this outrage by fans who said, well, why are we paying for preseason games full price? This is crazy. And the NFL said, oh, no, this is really important. We have to have four preseason games to evaluate talent. I guess it just depends on how you need to use the information to make your overall point is basically what you do. Now, maybe 10 years ago, those coaches needed four preseason games, and now today's coaches don't. Maybe that's the case. But nevertheless, Roger Goodell is trying to shorten preseason games. He wants 18 games of the regular season, and he wants to collective bargain this when it comes time to do that with the players. And I think in the end, some sort of deal is probably going to get worked out. I think the players are going to fight this tooth and nail because they know that unless there is other safety mechanisms that are delivered by teams towards their health and well-being, that this is not a sellable thing that Roger Goodell can pitch as a league that is really high on player safety. And I think the Players Association is also saying, look, if you want us to do two more games, let's renegotiate the entire pie. Don't just give us two more game checks. How about we renegotiate a bigger piece of the economic pie in our next collective bargaining agreement. We'll give you two games on our end. You give us a bigger percentage. And that's probably where this is going to get stagnant, and there's probably going to be some back and forth. But he's already setting the table for this, because the preseason has always been a stickler for fans, but not in the way you think. Listen, I think a lot of people are like me. I couldn't care less how many preseason games there are. You want to play five, play five. You want to play six, play six. You want to play two, play two. I couldn't care less. But the Thursday after Labor Day, you better have your kickoff ready. That's what I care about. Month of August, and again, it's whatever. Whatever you want to do. I don't watch a lot of preseason games. I don't get into preseason games. You want to play, again, you want to play 10, play 10. I don't care. Here's what I do care about. If I'm a season ticket holder, I don't want to play full price for the ticket for a game in which you don't have your starters playing and it's meaningless. If I'm a fan, how do I find the pure entertainment value of a preseason game at full price? Now, you want to play five and have three at home? Great. Charge me half the price or three quarters of the price of a regular season ticket. Let's be honest about what these games really are. And let's be honest with the fact that my full dollar amount for a ticket price is your way of generating revenue. Now, it's interesting that Goodell notes in this interview that he spoke to coaches who don't believe having four games in the summer is necessary to evaluate talent. Did he talk to the owners to see where they are and the fact that they may lose additional revenue? Like, that's no joke. Like, a stadium filled with people of season ticket holders who have paid full price for a preseason game, that's no joke. That's real dollars. So I wonder if he's spoken to them about the fact that they could lose it. Look, again, I don't want you to start the season in mid-August. I don't want you to start the season 3 weeks from Labor Day. All right? I want you to start the season when you start the season. What you do in the month of August, I don't care. It's up to you. Play 2, 1, 10, 12. I couldn't care less. All right? So if you think you're appeasing fans by shortening preseason, great, I guess. But what else are you giving us? If you want to give us 18 games, I don't want you starting the season in mid-August. I want you to start it in the fall. So start it in the fall and do whatever you want in the month prior to that. So I wonder what he's getting at with this other than setting the table for two more games. But the Players Association isn't stupid. Two preseason games off the schedule isn't equal to two more regular season games tacked on at the end. That's not an equal trade, and they know it. Right? So I don't know why he's saying this. It doesn't benefit the owners financially. It doesn't benefit the players. Most of them don't want to play in the preseason anyway, and a lot of the veterans can pretty much get out of playing it if they want. It doesn't benefit the players. It doesn't benefit the owners. Does it benefit the fans? Well, like I said, if you're like me, I don't pay much attention to preseason games in August. It doesn't bog my schedule. I never once look at August and go, my God, it would be such a great month if there wasn't so many preseason NFL games to watch on my television. God, it's such a great calendar of sports with baseball and PGA championship. Oh, wait, they moved that to May. Baseball and baseball. Come on. Like, who are you trying to convince and make happy with the announcement that the preseason should be shortened? Like, who is jumping up and down with this bit of news? Oh, no, it doesn't matter, you see, because in Goodell's world, he doesn't really care about this issue. He is setting the table to then say, oh, look, we're giving you two preseason games off. So on the flip side, you could add two more regular seasons on the back end of the schedule. It's really weird. I wonder how people feel in 2019 about two extra games on the calendar, because when I did shows in Colorado, I would ask this when this topic was red hot and people, I couldn't believe how many people were saying, I'm a little nervous about that. Obviously I want more football, but I kind of want good football. Like, I'm a little nervous that 18 games is attrition, and I would always point out wait a minute, hold on. For every major player that you may lose to injury for the postseason, you also expand the schedule a little bit so that guys can come back a little earlier. So some guys that may miss a wild card matchup now have a chance to kind of heal during the new regular season. Didn't matter. Didn't matter. People were like, I don't know. I don't want a third string quarterback playing in the playoffs. Like at 16 makes, 16's fine. It kind of fits. But I think, again, people probably said that when it was a 14-game schedule and they expanded to 16, and now we're fine with 16. Eventually, we'd be fine with 18. But I think
we'd be fine with 20.
You'd probably be fine with 20. Why don't you just make it 7 months? 7 months out of the year.
Yeah, why not?
But I don't know, again, who is so passionate about four playoff games being just an atrocity that they want it shortened. The only people who have a beef against preseason games are the people paying full price for the tickets. That's it. Other than that, don't watch. Turn it off. I mean, if you don't like preseason games, don't watch. Most of you do watch. That's the other thing. Most of you do watch because, like I mentioned, there's usually nothing on in August to watch. You're kind of getting playoff fever in baseball, but you're not really quite there. You still got a full month left. So you throw a preseason game on Thursday night, Sunday night, Saturday, whatever it is. Yeah, of course. Yeah, great. I used to love going to preseason games when I was covering the Broncos because it would just literally be I haven't seen you in a while. Let's play catch up. How's your life? I couldn't remember anything leaving preseason games. I couldn't remember anything. What the score was, who scored, who looked good. I'd walk back to my car and I'd be like, I don't really remember much. Because it was just, I would sit in the press box and not pay barely any attention to what is going on. It's worthless. I'd do a little write-up. That was it. I'd be done and I'd leave the stadium and forget the game. And I always kept thinking to myself, what if I paid full price for this? What if I paid $150 a ticket for this ridiculous exhibition? But if it was on my TV, if I got that, if I've got nothing else in a movie, I might watch it. I may not. Who knows? You know where people get excited about preseason games? People get excited about preseason games when there's a rookie quarterback, especially, that they've drafted and they want to see. That's when people get really excited.
And let's be honest. I mean, the only preseason game that anyone ever gets excited for is Game 3.
Even then, do people really jump up and down about Game 3?
Well, I'm saying out of the four. You can get rid of that fourth game. That fourth game is full of scrubs you never even heard of. Same with the first game.
But here's the argument I've always heard, because I've asked players about this. And the argument I've always heard is players go, whoa, don't get rid of the fourth one. A lot of us have gotten our jobs through the fourth one.
No, that's true.
So like a lot of them say, listen, I need tape. Right? I need tape, and I get tape in the fourth game. Now, listen, as far as a fan goes, I couldn't care less. Get your tape somewhere else. That's between you and your agent. The only reason that the third one matters is because these starters play beyond halftime. But even then, no coach does anything particularly awesome with those starters anyway. You're not going to see anything fresh out of the playbook. You're not going to see anything fancy. Guys don't really want to go all out anyway, so everything is kept pretty much vanilla. And even then, like the Patriots lose preseason games all the time because Belichick's like, I ain't opened up this stupid playbook. What are you, nuts? Why would I do anything like that? So, but the third one, you're right, is the one that matters the most because at least you can get starters into a point where as a season ticket holder and you're paying full price, at least you're getting some value. You're right. The fourth one stinks. The fourth one is so bad. Every Bronco fourth one that I went to when I covered their home games, if the fourth one fell in a home game, I'd have to get a brand new roster sheet, and I don't even know these guys. I can't even figure out how these guys, like, who's going to play. None of them are making the team, right? All of them are just kind of filling out roles. So, but again, Goodell is so smooth with this. He wants an 18-game schedule. Just come out and say it. Just tell the Players Association, look, let's talk about this. Let's negotiate this. Let's get started early. The collective bargaining is coming up. And when we sit down, I want to know what you want, and you want to know what we want. Let's make this work. And the players can chant safety all they want, but you know what? If the pie is in their favor, if they get a big cut of that, they'll be fine with 18 games. They'll be fine. So we'll see. All right. So what else did Roger Goodell say in Buffalo? Well, one that should have Bills fans a little concerned. We'll get to that coming up next. It's SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM. on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, don't take a chance getting stranded. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts to get your battery tested. It's free of charge and one of the many services available. If your battery needs to be replaced, the professional parts people will help you find the exact battery for your car or truck. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, so I just told you Goodell is pressing for an 18-game schedule. He thinks the preseason may be shortened. It could be shortened. Be good, whatever. Do whatever you want with preseason. I don't care. 18 games? I'm interested in where you're going to go with that. But as far as preseason games, I'm not bothered by more, less. Keep it at 4. Keep it at 10. I don't care. But the other thing that he said, which is really interesting, is the Buffalo Bills situation. Now, the Bills are one of the most, loyal franchise bases in terms of fans that we have in the NFL. Their fan base is unbelievable. For a team that hasn't won in a very, very long time, their fan base is exceptional. But they don't play in a great building. They don't play in a great stadium. New Era Field is kind of a dump. It's old. It's been around a long time. And Roger Goodell would like to see the Bills successful. How successful? Well, successful enough to go, yeah, they're going to need a new stadium successful. And all of a sudden now there's this conversation that's being had about Goodell threatening to move the Bills, which he didn't do, but he doesn't do that anyway. That's not what Goodell does. What Goodell does is lays things out and then you decipher what he means. Like, he doesn't say, oh, the Bills, should leave if they don't get a new stadium. He basically goes, well, I really want the Bills to be successful and competitive. Well, let me ask a question, because maybe I'm missing something. When he says successful, does he mean financially successful, or does he mean on the field successful? Because on the field successful means having the right general manager, evaluating the right talent, finding the right coach, and drafting well, and getting free agents that match what you want to do to build a competitive team. Can you honestly make the correlation that the Bills' one playoff appearance since the late 90s is a direct consequence because they play in an outdated stadium? Now, let me make this other point. The Buffalo Bills have invested a lot of money in the players' practice facility and headquarters. Now, that is where Buffalo Bills players spend a majority of their time. That's where they get rehab. That's where they study film. That's where they practice when they're not playing. And that's basically their place of employment. Now, that has been upgraded. That's a nice facility by all accounts. That's fine. The stadium is a place that they use 10 times out of the year. Now, successful financially, yeah, maybe it could use a few more luxury boxes. Maybe a new stadium will generate PSL numbers through the roof. Maybe you charge more for parking because it's a better parking situation. Who knows? Financially, yes. Competitively, how does that relate? So Goodell said, the reason I'm supportive is because I want to make sure this franchise remains stable here and continues and remains competitive. I think it's great for this community, and we've been able to do these stadiums in such a way that it creates a tremendous economic benefit too. Stop peddling that lie. Have we not learned our lesson after 50 stadium rebuilds in all sports across the country? This doesn't happen like people think it happens. Yes, you can find some uptick in downtown areas. You can find some uptick in certain regions where maybe around the stadium it's gotten a little bit better for restaurants and bars around that area. But stop pretending new stadiums just generate an entire revenue stream for the entire city. Stop pretending that these new stadiums generate an entire new tax base for these local governments. They do no such thing. Study after study after study after study show that for the most part, there is no long-lasting economic impact to the cities to when these new stadiums are being built. They peddle this lie constantly, so much so that you're almost afraid to challenge it. You're almost afraid to say, no, that's not really true, right? Because they'll go, oh, no, look at this, look at this, look at this restaurant and bar area, look at downtown Denver, or look at when this stadium was built or that stadium was built. And they'll point to like small successes, but the overall tax revenue, nothing changes. Nothing gets better. Nothing's different. Governments are as broke as they've ever been. If you want a new stadium, I get it. I get it. Listen, they're cool, all right? And yeah, nobody wants a dilapidated old football stadium. You want a nice, shiny new building. That's totally fine. If you can find tax revenue for it, and the people vote for it, that's fine. Who am I to judge? But don't peddle the lie to the public that a new stadium will revolutionize or rejuvenate the Buffalo economic base. It doesn't work that way, and it never works that way. So again, my overriding point is competitive. What are you talking about? What do you mean? Competitive on the football? Because the Buffalo Bills have no reason in the books as to why they're not competitive. Other than they don't hire the right coach, haven't evaluated talent, haven't drafted particularly well. And you know what? They play in a division with the New England Patriots who've had an incredible run of dominance for 17 years. But other than that, have you ever heard a Buffalo Bill ever say, well, you know, until they build a new stadium, there's no way this team can be competitive? I don't think the two go hand in hand. And don't give me the whole, we'll attract better free agents. You know what attracts better free agents? Money. That's what attracts free agents. Guys will play anywhere if they're the highest paid at their position. And since everyone's under a salary cap, the only thing a new stadium would generate as far as you, the football fan, is concerned, the only thing a new stadium would generate is maybe a nicer place to go visit them and play. But other than that, it's money in the Pegula's pocket. They can't use it for anything else. They're not allowed to use it for anything else. So all the teams are under the same salary cap constraints. A new stadium puts money in the owner's pocket. The only thing a new... I have to correct this. The only thing a new stadium would do in Buffalo would prevent the Pegulas from going, you know, Toronto looks pretty attractive. Anywhere else looks pretty attractive. Maybe we'll go to L.A. Oops, too late. So this is what Goodell is pitching now. A 45-year-old stadium needs to be replaced, and we ain't going to do it. That's basically it. Listen, can I just tell you, when I was at the Super Bowl, I did a virtual reality tour of the new LA stadium. And Ron, when you go out there, can you find your way into that place? Like, get a ticket for anything. I don't care. Just go and give us a report on how nice it's going to be when it's done.
Have you seen the latest photos?
I have not, but
I mean,
the thing looks great.
It's still dirt field, but there's structure.
Oh boy, that thing's gonna look great. That thing's gonna be awesome. It's gonna be so great.
Yeah, I think it might get to a point where it'll host every other Super Bowl.
Sorry, that's my my phone going off as an Amber Alert is in my area, so apologize for that. Look, Mercedes-Benz. I know, jeez,
they found
Amber
you.
Alert, man. You ever been in a restaurant where an emergency alert or an Amber Alert goes off? And everybody's phone in the restaurant or bar goes off at the same time. It is the craziest, weirdest thing. Yeah, there's an Amber Alert in Memphis, so I get an alert on my phone. But Mercedes-Benz Stadium is great. It's beautiful. Dallas Cowboys Stadium, obviously, is awesome.
Yep.
There's a lot of great... I mean, listen, there's a lot of great stadiums. I mean, some of these are just gorgeous meccas. Yeah, if you're a Buffalo Bills fan, maybe you'd love to see a new stadium. I don't know if you'd want higher property taxes to support it. Or a food tax or whatever it is to support it.
Or just take the money away from the kids. You don't need to renovate schools or transit systems or parks or anything like that.
No, exactly. This is one of the things that gets under my skin. I cannot stand it when these owners and teams and leagues peddle this whole idea like, why should we pay for it? You're the one that's going to benefit from it. What are you talking about? We're going to benefit from it. Other than a nice place to sit down to watch a game. But you're not going to improve the school system. You're not going to improve the roads. You're not going to improve anything with a new stadium. It's insane. The idea is crazy. All right, it's 800-777-2907, SB Nation AM. It's SB Nation Radio.
is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. So rolled through on a Tuesday. Let's talk travel. Most of us do a little travel throughout the year. And how you booking your hotel rooms? Well, I got a suggestion. BestHotelRates.com. BestHotelRates.com negotiated special rates with over 600,000 hotels worldwide. Extended these discounts to you. You go to BestHotelRates.com, plug in your destination, dates of travel, and you're looking at discounted rates from any of the hotels you could pay more for somewhere else. Save your money. Book your hotels through BestHotelRates.com. Top-notch customer service backs up your reservation, so your stay is safe and secure. BestHotelRates.com. Start planning your trip today. It's in the name, BestHotelRates.com. I was at this restaurant last night, and this young girl threw up at her table. And she was so upset. And she was like, you know, in tears because she was embarrassed, you know, because people were looking at her and stuff.
How old are we talking?
Probably six.
Okay.
Maybe five. I'm bad with young ages, so probably six or five. So, you know, my buddy and I were like we were going to help out a little bit, you know, because they left and everything. And the poor waitress was like, oh, my God.
I got to clean this up.
The waitress said to us, yeah, she basically threw up after drinking her second cup of chocolate milk. And I said, how big are the cups? And she showed me the cup, and it looked like a 12-ounce cup.
Oof, there you go.
And I said, did she give that little girl two cups of chocolate milk? And then I started thinking, there's a thing called the milk gallon milk challenge,
yep.
Right?
Yeah.
You can't drink a gallon of milk.
No adult can do it.
After a while, the body just rejects it. So I started wondering, is it possible that a little girl could have been sick? I have no idea. But I just started thinking in my head, is it possible that 24 to 25 ounces of chocolate milk for a little girl was just the equivalent of us adults trying to drink a gallon of milk? Maybe your body said, uh-uh, we ain't doing this. Bye.
I would say yes.
That's what I thought. I was like, maybe she's not sick. Maybe she was fine, but her mother gave her two things of chocolate milk and her body went, I ain't drinking this.
Well, you know, that's a lot of chocolate milk, Tony. I mean, that first one, you never really taste. That's why you always get that second one.
That's right. Yeah. But it was just a thought I had that I thought was just silly. My friend thought I was silly too, but I said, no, but think about it. She's, you know, a little girl. She drank 24 ounces of chocolate milk. That's a lot of milk. You can't drink that much milk without coughing it up. So the mother, I hope the mother learned a very valuable lesson about chocolate.
So it says, I'm trying to remember my math. There's 64 ounces in a gallon, right?
Right.
So she was a third of the way there.
That's what I was thinking. It's funny that you brought that up. I was trying to figure out the crazy, ridiculous math as well.
Yeah, no, you know what? I think you're absolutely right. Listen, you know what? Most of the time with my kids, I mean, usually it's because they have a stomach bug, but most of the time, like, oh, God, it's like, if I could figure out the numbers on this one, it's like, you know, probably somewhere in the high 80s, you know, high 80s, that every time they throw up, it's, you know, they have a stomach bug, but it always seems to coincide with them having some mac and cheese.
That's probably true, right?
Which, by the way, is the worst smelling thing to clean up.
Oh, God, it's awful.
But maybe it's the dairy.
I mean, that's what I thought.
I know there's not real dairy in mac and cheese, but still.
I felt so bad for that little girl, too, because everyone was looking at her, and she's just like, you know, she's trying to process all of this, and her mother's flipping out on her. And she's like, I can't help it. I wanted to say, you know what? Don't let any of these people bother you. When you got to release that. It's the best feeling in the world. When you've got a stomach ache and it's just gnawing at you and it's the best.
See, what you should have done is you or your buddy should have just sat there and turned to the girl and goes, all right, now puke and rally.
Oh, you know what? That's funny. I probably should have done something. Yeah, should have done. I really wish I made her. I wish I reached out and tried to make her feel better. Instead of going, I can't enjoy my wings with that child over there vomiting on the table. This is not fair. I want a discount, or I want these to go, or I want out of here. So I just, but the overall point I was thinking about, the gallon milk challenge was off the top of my head. So yeah, is there a reason? Has science figured out why the body can't absorb?
I don't know. I think it's just too heavy.
Oh God!
It's like that. What's the other one? Like the other weird one is like you can't eat a tablespoon of cinnamon or something like that.
Yes, yes, exactly. There was a cinnamon challenge too. I wish these challenges got to stop because somebody's going to get killed. There was also something about you couldn't eat 6 crackers without taking something to drink.
Okay.
There was something about 6 maybe saltines.
Maybe at the same time, because I'll be honest with you, I've downed more than 6 crackers.
Yeah, they say you can't eat 6 crackers at once without having something to drink.
All right, well, that's weird.
And I thought to myself, that can't be true. I bet I could plow through it. And I think I remember doing this and not being able to do it.
God, like, I remember being a bartender. I was a bartender in college, and there was a surefire way to get someone to throw up. There was a drink called a cement mixer.
Oh, very good.
And basically, I'm trying to remember what was in it. It was like Bailey's Irish Cream and like lemon juice. I think it was just that. And you put it into a shot. In shot form, it's fine. But what you're supposed to do is, like, you know, you tell them to, you know, put the shot in your mouth, and then you shake their head violently. And usually you give it to them after they've already had a few. And then you shake their head violently. What happens is, and it's the grossest thing in the world is that the drink in your mouth starts to curdle.
Ooh, God, yikes. Egads, man.
Yeah. And that was always a surefire way to, like,
send somebody to the hospital. What's
probably
wrong with you?
Yeah, you know, that's very possible.
Oh, God.
About when you're a 20-something-year-old bartending your way through college, you don't think about sending people to hospitals.
That's very true. Very true. By the way, congratulations to the St. Louis Blues last night. Yeah, this series.
That was a fun game.
Fun game. I did. We watched it. It was on at the place we were at last night.
I didn't have one issue, though. At the beginning of the game, they panned over and they showed Wayne Gretzky.
Okay, so
I did not recognize him at all.
Oh, really? Did he gain weight, lose weight? Why didn't you recognize him?
I remember him being like a beanpole, like really skinny. I think.
Oh, he's fat?
Well, he's not fat. But, I mean, his face, I just didn't look like him.
Oh, God.
And I'm looking at him like, why are they showing this guy? He's next to the NHL commissioner, was it Bettman?
Yeah.
He was standing next to him, and I recognized him. But, you know, and then they said, it's like, oh, you know, there's Wayne Gretzky talking to, you know, NFL commission. Wonder what they're talking about, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, that's Wayne Gretzky? That doesn't look like Wayne Gretzky.
Wow. I did not see that part. I might have to Google Wayne Gretzky to see what he looks like now.
Yeah, just maybe.
I'd be curious.
Just, maybe it was just the lighting or something. It just did maybe. Not look like, you know, that. And there could have been a couple factors going on, but I felt bad. I just did not recognize him at all. I was like, God, he looks completely different than what I imagine. Maybe he's, you know, he's just getting older, and that's it. Maybe that's what it is. He's just getting older.
2 wins away from ending the Boston duck boat nightmare.
Yes.
Come on, St. Louis.
Come
on. Make it happen.
They looked good last night.
They really looked good last night. Yeah, they looked really good.
Back down at all.
By the way,
trying to take people out with pucks.
This is no disrespect to Nance, Mike Breen, you know, Joe Buck, or anybody else. But Mike Emmerich is one of the best play-by-play announcers for his sport that any of those guys are for theirs.
Yeah.
He is so amazingly good. And I kind of forget, because again, I'm not a huge hockey guy, how talented he is until I end up hearing him again. And he is remarkable at that sport. That is a very hard sport to call. I've done it and I've fallen right on my face sometimes because it's nonstop action that you better be anticipating, and you got to watch watch that stuff. But what a lot of play-by-play announcers, especially young play-by-play announcers, fall victim to is and again, this probably comes with more age. You probably, as you get older, you get more confident in this, is that young broadcasters rely on crutch statements. They use the same terminology over and 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 over again. And Emmerich has a wide vocabulary for anything. So a simple pass could be shuffles along, shoves it along, passes through the nurture drum, feathers it. I mean, there's a number of different ways he uses it every single time. So he doesn't sound repetitive in a sport where that sort of action is repetitive. But he's very, very good at just bringing the energy of this sport to the forefront. And this is the thing that gets me about hockey and why it just doesn't break through the barrier. It just doesn't break through. It has had its in the last 20, 30 years, okay? It has had exciting young talent. It has had a very popular video game in the 90s. That NHL Sega Genesis video game was as big of a video game at the time than any sports game on the market. Everybody played NHL 94, and everybody tried to make Gretzky's head bleed. I mean, everybody did. That's why Swingers put it in the movie. Everybody played that game. It had its exciting postseason, but it didn't have the television deal, and it just doesn't pop enough onto the sports radar. And it's too bad because, again, I come at this with the caveat of this is not a sport I follow on a regular basis. I just sort of follow it in the postseason, but it gives you really everything you want in sports. It really does. There is a lot of energy and a lot of excitement, and the broadcasts are great. And Mike Emmerich is one of the most fantastic at delivering it. I'll never forget a line he had. The 2014 Olympics, I think. With the Winter Games in 14, I think they were. Yeah, 14 Winter Games. The U.S. women's hockey team lost the championship, lost the gold medal game. And so they were being awarded silver medals. And Mike Emmerich said on the broadcast, this was just one of the best lines. He said, a silver medal weighs 8 ounces. Like, he gave the ounces for the silver medal because they blew the game. Like, they kind of choked and they blew the game. And he was given the description of the silver medal. He's like, a silver medal weighs 6.64 ounces. And then he just pauses. Then he goes, but I bet it feels heavier now. And I thought, what a great line. What a great line. And he's really good at that. He's like a complete master at that. So I just, you know, it has all of these things going for it, and it just doesn't, pop. But last night, I loved the game. It was a great game. Good game. If you like sports, a good game. And good emotion from the crowd and all of that, stuff. So Blues and Bruins tied game five, or up to game five. It'll be on Thursday back in Boston. So if you're following along like Ron and I are in terms of preventing the three championship season for the city of Boston,
is that the only reason why we're rooting for St. Louis here, by the way?
I mean, I don't like Gloria. I don't care. I couldn't name five members of the Blues.
Nope.
But
Brett Hull's still playing, right?
Yeah, is Brett Hull still playing?
I saw him. He was there last night. He was in attendance.
I found out TJ Oshie doesn't play for them anymore. Last night, I was like, doesn't TJ Oshie play for them? He wasn't the hero of the Olympics a couple of years ago. Like, no, he doesn't play for them. I was like, oh, he plays for Washington or something. I don't know. But yeah, that's the only reason. The only reason we're watching it. So it's SB Nation Radio. It's SB Nation AM.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Colbert, here's Tony D.
Hi, Michael on Twitter. I did the exact same thing about Gretzky. It took me a while to figure out who he was. You just sent me a picture. You're absolutely right. He has put on some weight. He does not look the same. You're right. You know, once you know it's Gretzky, then you can start figuring out the resemblance. But immediately,
you start seeing the idea. Yes.
But if you didn't know who he was, you'd go, wait, who's that? And then you go, oh, that's Wayne Gretzky. Okay. But it's not immediate.
That's just one of those shockers that, you know, I mean, for me to be the equivalent of, say, 10, 15 years from now, we haven't seen Michael Jordan in the limelight, and then all of a sudden we see him and he's as big as Charles Barkley.
Yeah, no kidding. You're right.
Throw us for a loop. We'd be like, wait a second. You're waiting. What?
Man, he is really, he's really putting on some pounds. But again,
he's the great one. He can do that.
He's the great one. He can do whatever he wants. He's not obese. I don't want people to think, if they haven't seen it, I don't want you to think he's got like a puffy face. He looks like Stay Puff Marshmallow Man.
We know Gretzky as being this skinny, scrawny guy who just was able to fly on the ice and do anything he wanted with the puck.
How old's Wayne Gretzky? 65, 63, something
probably
like that?
Probably
60s.
I bet you he could still play.
So he's in his 20s in the early 80s, so that was 40 years ago. So yeah, it's in the 60s.
Yeah, but he can still play.
Oh, I'm sure he can. Maybe. Sure, you can still.
Should have that. I mean, I think hockey might be the only sport where you could have like a senior circuit. Maybe
can
baseball.
Have, yeah. Can you have a senior circuit in hockey where you just kind of skate around a little bit?
Yeah, maybe baseball. You could probably do a senior circuit in baseball as well, but you know, you might not be able to hit the long ball as much anymore. Hockey, you can still score.
Oh, yes. Hockey, you can still do some stuff. Yeah.
You know, they do that in soccer from time to time. They just did that recently.
Did they really?
Yeah, with Manchester United. It was like Manchester. They were celebrating the year Manchester United won the treble, which was three championship trophies in Europe in one calendar year. So they brought back a lot of those players, one of them being David Beckham. And they played against Bayern Munich, a bunch of old stars from Bayern Munich. And the game actually was somewhat entertaining.
Did people dig that?
The stadium was packed. You kidding?
I'm sure. Okay. That's pretty cool.
David Beckham scores. The crowd lose their mind. That's how it's supposed to be.
Yeah. Get some old-time hockey players on the ice. See what happens.
Yeah. They'll do it. I mean, soccer does it all the time. It's tributes. It's what they call them. Tributes or I don't know. Something like that.
Except in the NFL. I don't think you can do it in the NFL. I don't think it would work too well. SB Nation Radio.